This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app.
Superstitions, we all know them, we all laugh about them, and yet many of us secretly abide by them. From lucky socks to avoiding black cats, superstitions, they come in all shapes and sizes, as we've been finding out this afternoon. Well, today we're going to look into the psychology behind these curious habits and why they persist even in a modern science-driven world. Well, joining me is Stephanie Gomez-Ng, Senior Lecturer of Psychology from Auckland University of Technology, who recently conducted some research into human superstition. Stephanie, welcome to Drive.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Are you superstitious yourself?
There are some little things, like I knock on wood and I'll cross my fingers, you know, for good luck or if I want something to go well. But I don't think, at least not to my knowledge, I don't think I have any like really unique or like massive superstitions like some of the creative ones we've heard about.
It's interesting because when I grew up, my grandmother used to cross her fingers whenever she saw a black cat. And I, you know, as a kid, I suppose we observed these things that adults do. And I remember looking, she was serious. She had a serious look on her face. It wasn't just, a, oh, quick, let's all cross our fingers. La ha ha. Let's have a laugh. She was serious. She would like, and cross her fingers. And sort of, I'd look, oh my goodness, this is, you know, and I learnt the behavior. I ended up not doing it. But at the first, I thought, well, there's something behind this. So do we observe others doing it and then we copy?
Oh, for sure. Like a huge part of how probably superstitions develop and are maintained is they're just passed down, not maybe through your family, but also just, you know, the culture that we live in and the society we live in. You know, so I'll tell someone else like, oh, don't open an umbrella indoors because, you know, some people think that's bad luck. And so, you know, usually they won't. So we definitely like pass that on through our language and kind of picking things up from observing what other people do for sure.
What is it about that, though? Let's look at the umbrella one. I know for me, I don't open an umbrella inside. I don't believe in superstitions, but I don't open it because I know it's bad luck. Why is it that we have, I suppose, this disconnect between what we know is real and what we think, oh, look, just in case could happen?
It's a good question and really aligns well with the research that we've been conducting. So the whole idea behind the research that we published recently was to look at why, you know, even though often the rational or logical side of us knows that superstitions probably don't have any impact on the outcome. So, you know, if I open an umbrella indoors, I think it's bad luck or people tell me it's bad luck, but really there probably isn't, you know, a link between that and then whatever happens subsequently. Or if I have a lucky shirt and my favorite sports team wins, there probably isn't a connection there. And yet we behave as if there is. So we did a little bit of research to find out whether that is the case. And the way we did this was basically just by seeing whether or not people could detect the relationship between their behaviors and an outcome. Because the idea is, well, maybe if we can't actually tell, that might, you know, explain why we're so superstitious. But we did find, interestingly, we had 371 people complete a little like experiential learning task, a game they played with us where they either won or lost. And then we asked them, did you cause that outcome? Did you cause the win or did you cause the loss? And they were pretty good at telling us, you know, when their behavior had actually caused the outcome. About 80% of the time they would get it right. It's pretty high for this kind of task. So that suggests that actually we are pretty good at detecting cause and effect. So our logical or our rational brain does know, you know, that scientific type of thinking. We know, okay, that doesn't actually cause the outcome. And yet, as you say, we still engage in superstition. And we think that the reason why this might be is because people seem to have this bias, this default to attributing outcomes to their own behavior, even if they kind of know otherwise. So if our participants weren't 100% sure whether they'd caused the outcome, they just defaulted to saying that they'd caused it, especially if they'd won. So this bias might actually explain why we continue to engage in superstitious behavior despite knowing that it might not actually do anything.
So we think we know that this is the actual cause of something. It's almost like we overassume that that's right all the time.
Exactly, exactly. It's like we think, oh, if I'm not sure, I'll just assume that I caused the outcome, that I had some you know, responsibility in causing it.
Is it, are their behaviours, are they more common in high-pressure individuals? I mean, I know you wrote about Taylor Swift, for example, has a superstition as well. What does Taylor Swift do?
So she, Taylor Swift paints or writes the number 13 on her hand for good luck before a show. And there's a lot, as you say, lots of examples of other artists like Rihanna. Apparently she won't allow anything yellow in her dressing room because it's bad luck. Lots of examples of superstitions in those kind of high performing environments.
Do you think, if let's say I've got a pair of lucky socks and I think, you know, it helps my favourite team win, for example, is my brain sort of trying to connect dots that aren't there? Is that what it's trying to do?
Yeah, in some ways it is. Like you have a bias, or not just you, but people in general, and even some animals have a bias to make these connections between potential causes and effects. And if we think all the way back to, you know, back to our ancestors who were living in hunter-gatherer societies, you know, in the wild for the most part, this kind of makes sense because it helps to ensure that if there is a potential connection, it's not missed. So if you hear some leaves rustling overhead, of course, it makes sense to assume that, you know, a predator, like there's something coming to get you so that you can react appropriately and therefore survive.
Even if it was just the wind. Right.
Exactly, exactly. So it does kind of serve this important, like, survival purpose, even though, you know, in this day and age, maybe, you know, our superstitions are kind of innocent or harmless. If we look back to the past, it does actually kind of make a bit of sense.
Is there a link with reduced anxiety? If we practice a superstition or a ritual and we think, actually, you know what, I know that there'll be a positive outcome, is one of the reasons we potentially do it because we feel a bit less anxious if we continue this pattern?
Yeah, and that is consistent with some research on the psychological benefits of engaging in superstitious behavior, that it does kind of give us a feeling of a sense of control, especially in, you know, when we might be expected to perform well. So, you know, sports, professional sports or performing arts, or even if you're going to, you know, take an exam or you have a really big test or an important meeting coming up. In those kinds of situations, if you have a little superstitious routine, I guess you could say, it can kind of help to alleviate your anxiety, calm the nerves by giving you a bit of a sense of control over your environment. And actually, this can then lead on to things like you feel a boost in confidence and your performance might actually improve as a result of that.
Someone once gave me a bunch of crystals and said to me, you know, this one's for this particular thing, this one's for another thing. And, you know, I was, oh, okay. I think I had about 10 of them at one stage. And then they said on a full moon, you've got to put them out because they'll be charged up. And I thought, oh my goodness, I better do it, because if they don't, you know, I didn't believe in it. I had no idea. And anyway, I got to a point where I was downloading this app and I was, every full moon, I was putting these things out in the garden. And then one day I forgot where I put them because I was scattering them everywhere and I lost some. And I thought, oh my God, this is absolutely terrible. And I'm wondering if superstitions, we can become too obsessed with them and they become a bit of a problem rather than something that's, erring on the side of caution.
I guess, you know, there is a line between like an innocent or a harmless superstitious behavior that we engage in every once in a while and more of like an, I guess you could draw links with like a more obsessive or compulsive type behavior that might start to interfere with, you know, our functioning, or it might lead, you know, if you don't engage in that behavior, then your anxiety might actually spike instead of, you know, being alleviated. So there is some overlap there. I think when it does kind of get to that stage where it might be starting to interfere with your ability to function, then we're kind of venturing into more clinical territory. But for the most part, the type of superstitious behavior that my research has been looking at is kind of more of that, you know, harmless, or every now and again, you know, you knock on wood or throw salt over your shoulder or you wear your lucky socks, that type of thing.
I love it. It's fascinating conversation. Stephanie, thank you so much for chatting with us on Drive today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Stephanie Gomez-Eng, who's Senior Lecturer in Psychology at Auckland University of Technology. There you have it. Now we know all about superstitions.
You're tuned in to Joy Drive on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.